The Springboks have made history by winning the Rugby Championship back-to-back for the first time ever, and we could not be any prouder of our heroes in green and gold. In this episode, I'm going to give you my top five takes at full time of this 29-27 historic victory over Argentina at Twickenham. Starting with number one, scrum dominance. Guys, I don't want to be disrespectful to Los Pumas, but let's talk a little bit about their history for a second. Over the years, over the decades, even the century and a half, so to speak, they have long been known and been famous for their scrum. However, in the last few years, that has taken a bit of a backseat as they have become a more adventurous and attacking team. Their backline is now their, shall we say, most lethal weapon rather than their pack. But many people who still say that France are unpredictable will tell you that Argentina have got a very strong scrum. And you know who might disagree with that statement after this performance? Two-time Rugby World Cup champion, Malcolm Marks. That's who. You can get your hands on a Malcolm bobblehead figurine for free if you visit the Scoin Shop and make a purchase. South Africa's leading gold coin and bullion retailer, specializing in Krugerrands, rare coins, and numismatics. Just like the Springboks, the Scoin Shop is all about world-class quality and heritage. These coins are test match quality, worthy of back-to-back world champions. So why stop at Malcolm? Collect the whole gang and build your winning team. The Scoin Shop has stores nationwide. Now, the reality is that in this current era, Argentina scrum is not the weapon that it once was. Now, as I said, I don't want to be disrespectful towards them, but South Africa's scrum was so dominant against Los Pumas. It looked like we were playing against a second-tier side at scrum time. So come Rugby World Cup 2024, just try to think what it's going to be like when we scrum against a team like Portugal or Spain, or even, dare I say, Hong Kong. That's kind of what it looked like at times. There were many times when we pushed them and shoved them so badly that, quite frankly, if I was an Argentine, I would have been embarrassed. And it's not like they don't have good players. If you have a look around, Michael Vivas, there's nothing wrong with him. Julian Montoya, top quality player. I was pleased that they had Pedro Rubiolo back in their starting 15. I rate him highly. Pablo Matera, what a magnificent Argentine player he has been. Many might even say that he is the greatest Puma of all time. He's certainly my favorite South American player. And then you also think of men like Juan Martin Gonzalez. I know he came off the bench. Oviedo was on the bench as well. But they started with some other great players like Marcos Crema. There's some really, really good players. So it's puzzling to me why they struggle so much at scrum time. However, it's not our problem. And as I say, we took them to school up front, and it was so good to see, because there have been times in 2025 where the Springbok scrum has not always looked as strong as we would like it to be. And having said that, when the replacements came on, the bomb squad, later in the second half, Argentina's scrum did start to look a little bit better. So that might be something for us to think about. But certainly for now, I'm very, very happy with what happened up front. Number two, the Springboks make history. That's right, we've never won the Tri Nations or the Rugby Championship back to back. And now we finally have done it. We've won the Rugby World Cup back to back. And now we've won the Rugby Championship back-to-back. We've got the Mandela Plate in consecutive years. We've got the Freedom Cup in consecutive years to boot. So right now, this is, without any doubt, when it comes to statistics, the most successful period in the history of Springbok rugby. What a time to be alive. Now, I know that there are some people, notably our friends who live on the other side of the world and like to wear black jerseys when they support their favorite rugby team, who might point out how many more rugby championships New Zealand have in comparison to South Africa. They might also point out how many times they've won it back to back in comparison to the Springboks. And yes, all of those things are true. But I'm going to throw something at you. What's more important? The Rugby World Cup or the Rugby Championship? It's not even a debate. And I'm going to throw something else at you, which I think puts this into perfect perspective. When you think of football, even if if you're not a fan, the first country that usually comes to mind is Brazil. Brazil is the most successful team in the history of the Football World Cup. They've won it more times than anyone else. But did you know that, okay, they don't play the rugby championship, but what would be their version of it is called the Copa America. It's the South American continental competition. And so over the years, it has taken place sometimes annually, sometimes every 2 years, sometimes there's been 3 year gaps. At the moment, they're trying to do it every 4 years. And the reigning champions are actually Argentina, who also, as it turns out, are the reigning world champions, and they've won the Copa America back to back. Brazil, do you think that they care that Argentina have won the Copa America? Yeah, sure, they would like to win the Copa America, but the fact that Argentina have won more Copa Americas than they have means nothing when you factor in that Argentina have won the World Cup 3 times, but the Brazilians have won it 5 times. And did you know that Uruguay have also won more Copa Americas than Brazil? Do you think anyone in Brazil cares? They've got 5 World Cups. Uruguay have 2, and that is the end of that conversation. Just like we have 4 Rugby World Cups, New Zealand have 3, and that is the end of that conversation. Should the All Blacks win the next Rugby World Cup and it becomes 4-4, then they can use their Rugby Championship and Tri Nations titles as something of a tiebreaker. But for now, they can have as many rugby championships or Tri Nations titles as they like. It means nothing in the bigger scheme of things. Number 3. South Africa needs to improve their ability to play over 80 minutes. Now, this might sound like harsh criticism, but let's go back to the start of the Rugby Championship. We were brilliant for, okay, fine, not 40 minutes, but 20 minutes against the Wallabies at Ellis Park, and then we were woeful for 60 minutes. In the second match in Cape Town, I think we were probably more consistent across the 80 minutes, but it wasn't exactly vintage rugby in any event. Nevertheless, you could call that an 80-minute performance. Then against New Zealand in Auckland, I think it's fair to say that in the first half we struggled, but we were good in the second half, but it was too little too late. How about the second match in Wellington against the All Blacks? Yeah, in the first half we were decent, but in the second half we were out of this world. You cannot compare the two 40-minute periods. Same with the match against Argentina in Durban. In the first half, don't forget, before Sasha Feinberg and Ngome Zulu scored his 40th-minute try, the Pumas were leading. And if at halftime we were leading, or trailing, I beg your pardon, the South Americans, I don't think anybody in that stadium or watching on TV could have had any complaints. But in the second half, we were phenomenal. And here again, in London at Twickenham against Los Pumas, in the first half, we were behind at the break, and deservedly so. In the second half, we sorted things out and we came back and we ended up winning. We were the better side across the 80 minutes. But I think what we want to see now from our box is a complete 80-minute performance. We're seeing 40-minute performances, maybe 50, even 60. In one or two instances, only 20. But now we want to see 80. A full 80 minutes of brilliant Springbok play, and I genuinely believe there isn't a team on earth that would be able to live with us. It's just a matter of time before it clicks, I believe. Number 4, Argentina were much better. And as I mentioned in my previous point, if we go back to Durban, in the first half, Argentina were good. There was nothing wrong with their display. They actually probably should have been leading at halftime until that 40th minute Sasha Feinberg and Ngome Zulu try. So those Pumas are not a bad side. I know 67-30 made it look like they were atrocious, but if we look at what happened in London, again, leading at halftime, they pushed us in the second half, even though we were better, yes, it's true, but I feel like they showed their true colours in London. We saw what this team of theirs is really capable of, and that they really are a decent side. Their record speaks for itself. They beat Australia in Australia in the Rugby Championship this year. They beat the Wallabies at home last year. This year, they beat the All Blacks in Argentina for the first time in their history. Last year, they beat the Kiwis in New Zealand, and that wasn't even the first time that they've done that. In fact, Los Pumas have beaten our friends in New Zealand 4 times in the last 5 years. This is a team that is serious, and their biggest problem for me is their consistency. it doesn't help that they beat New Zealand this week, but then get smashed next week. Or they pushed us this week really, really close, but the week before they were hammered by 37 points. That is the thing that coach Felipe Contepomi has to sort out. And once he figures out the solution to that problem, I'm telling you, Argentina are not only going to be a dangerous side, they'll actually be a contender for the Rugby World Cup. Can they figure it out in the next 2 years? Only time will tell. And that brings me to point number five, the stadium attendance. I saw that they put it up at the stadium at Twickenham. More than 70,000 people were in attendance. And yes, the majority were South African, as you would expect, because there are so many South Africans living in London. And it was great to see. Now, don't forget the story behind how this match came to be played at Twickenham, because this was Argentina's home game. So it should have been played in Buenos Aires, Mendoza, Salta, Santiago del Estero, Rosario, one of those places. Okay, that's where it should have been played. But the Argentine Rugby Union made the decision to take the match to London. What it meant is that their income for this test match would be in pounds rather than pesos. And you don't need to be a genius to figure out what that means for the Argentine Rugby Union. It was a big payday. It would have been better if they had won, of course, from their perspective, not ours. But that was the thinking behind taking the match to Twickenham. We were happy to do it as well. If you think of it from another point of view, both teams were in South Africa the week before the test match. And so flying up north to London, yes, it's a 12-hour or thereabouts flight, but you're not straddling time zones as you would have been doing going to Argentina. Not forgetting that the Argentines, and indeed the South Africans, would have been coming from Australia and New Zealand just a fortnight earlier. So there were many reasons why this made sense. And I think that Argentina will feel pleased that they were able to do this. A 70,000 capacity, or at least 70,000 attendance, that tells you that the idea was a good one and it paid off. There was one thing I did notice, though. Not the entire top tier of the stadium, but a section of the top tier was completely empty. So that tells us that they didn't sell tickets for that particular section. I'm just thinking, if you can sell 70,000 tickets, you can probably sell another 10. So I wonder if they might look at doing that again the next time that they go to the UK capital to play a test match there. But in the end, I think that we can say that the right team won on the day and the right team won the rugby championship. I want to show you the table again very quickly. As it turns out, in the end, we've only won the competition on points difference. Massively so if you look at our numbers compared to New Zealand. But I think that in the end, we were the best team out of the four this year. Were Argentina the worst team out of the four? That's debatable. Maybe marginally not as good as Australia. Maybe the other way around, you can debate that. I'm not convinced that New Zealand necessarily would have deserved to win the title. But then you could turn around and say that if we had lost to Argentina in London, then we didn't deserve to win it anyway. So, you know, you can have these kind of discussions. But the fact of the matter is that the Springboks have made history. And for the first time ever, we have won the Rugby Championship back to back. And yes, as I say, the Rugby World Cup is always going to be ahead of the Rugby Championship in terms of prestige. But it's always nice to win a trophy, and it's even better when those trophies are in your cabinet rather than those of your greatest rival. But what do you think? Do you think that the Springboks were indeed the best team in the Rugby Championship this year, and their win over Argentina just confirmed that we were indeed the best team and deserved to win the trophy, and that the best is still to come? Or do you think that maybe the Boks were not at their best, maybe for three of the six matches, maybe even four of the six matches, maybe even four and a half of the six, and that maybe some of the cracks were just papered over? Let me know in the comment section down below what your take is on this Springbok victory. And I'll see you next time.